Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Sunday night. It is a frosty day, beautiful fall. He is approaching here in New England, and it just was incredible. The clouds were frosty today, and the sky was blue, and there was this crispness. It's a joyous time of year. It just really is kind of a comforting time of year up here. Chloe and I were able to witness with some friends a double rainbow last night on our way back from, you know, just doing errands and chores, and that was pretty spectacular, too. I've never seen a rainbow so close and so bright as we did last night. It was incredible. Tonight, I am so thrilled to have Kelly Smith. She's the author of Surviving the First Five, and I think she's implying the first 5 years of a relationship, specifically marriage. But for those of you who choose not to actually get married, but you have a long-term partnership, I think the rules will still apply. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about her concept of how to survive the first 5 years, because you know what? Until you know how badly they snore, it may or may not work out after year two. You might just want to roll them over or get another bedroom. Who knows? So I'm going to pull Miss Kelly Smith on. Are you out there, Miss Kelly?
I am, Rusty.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. We have a lot to pack into 26 minutes, so I'm going to just forewarn you how this show goes. It's very easy, laid back. I'm going to ask you probably about 5 questions total. It's going to feel like 5 minutes, and we'll go to a commercial break, and then I have some announcements of some events that I'm going to be doing. You're going to shamelessly promote yourself so that people can find you, and that's it, and it goes by really, really fast. So to start, who are you and what do you do?
Okay. I'm Kelly Smith. I'm actually finishing up my master's degree right now in counselor education, so I specialize in marriage and family. I work with couples from all different types of backgrounds, whatever issue you can think of, you name it. I've either probably worked with it already or plan to work on it, finances, communication, intimacy, anything. I'm live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a wife, a mom, and just overall just really passionate and enthusiastic about helping couples and helping families to improve their quality of life and to get the most out of their relationships.
What was your inspirational moment when you decided that this was going to be your path? I mean, you know, for the most part, we want to be models and actresses and dancers and phlebotomists and all of these things, but then all of a sudden our path just comes and abruptly stops us and pulls us away from our fantasy and brings us to the reality of what we're really gifted to do. So what was that moment in your life?
Yeah, I knew I always wanted to help people. I just didn't know how or what my purpose was. So it was probably after I got my undergrad degree in psychology and was working in the field for a little while doing different things, that I started to really look at the dynamics of my own relationship, what was working, what wasn't working, and just kind of just reaching out, praying about it, and trying to see, well, what is it that I'm really supposed to be doing? And so when I started working with non-custodial fathers on their parenting and looking at the different relationships they had with the mothers or their current significant others and stuff, and it just really made me want to better myself, get more education, and be able to reach out to more couples out there to see how can we help them get more out of their marriages and to, in turn, affect the communication within the family and stuff, too.
Very cool. So this is already a path that was kind of you were walking on anyway, and you just kind of made it bigger. That's neat.
Yeah.
Good for you. So as I said in my intro, you know, a lot of people don't actually get married anymore. It's an American phenomenon, I think. but people do have long-term partnerships. And your book is about the first 5 years. And Lord, I was with the same person for 16 years, so I can completely understand the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy. Like, you're very forgiving, I think. But then some things get old. What is your book about? And how do you, you know, deboggle the oldness of the drinking out of the milk jug? That's one of my largest pet peeves, and he did it for 16 years. Lord, I'm telling you. I did not have enough cast iron frying pans at the time. but you know what I'm saying. Talk to us a little bit about your book.
Okay. Surviving the First Five, Insightful Encouragement for the Newly Married. It does focus on the first 5 years of marriage. And it's a lot of personal reflections, personal stories, things that I've gone through and learned, and I've also witnessed in some other couples that I know, to be able to put into – we'll kind of condense into some chapters to be able to help the listeners, the readers out there, to be able to relate to other married couples. So it deals a lot with the basic things that happen, setting the foundation for your marriage, kind of see what the common goals are, what vision you want, you and your spouse or partner want for your relationship, and then some hurdles and obstacles that may come along the way. I mean, realizing that they may not all happen in the first 5 years, but kind of being proactive about it and knowing that, hey, something may arise, and having the tools that you need to be able to overcome those obstacles versus being reactive and creating larger amounts of anxiety and relating to other issues and stuff that could
And it's just because I'm an old lady, but do you think that a lot of that should be really kind of ironed out prior to marriage? I mean, I think of marriage as something you do until you death do you part, and obviously that didn't work out because we're both still alive. but I don't think we really ironed out a lot of the stuff and expectations prior to marriage. And I know I have a handful of friends with very strict religious beliefs where they don't even get to date before they get married. It's very arranged. How do you really capture and motivate and draw into your needs, your wants, your desires, your dreams? We all grow as individuals. As we get older, we have different needs, desires, wants, and dreams. How do you really encompass that piece prior to making that huge commitment?
Yeah, well, definitely it's a lot of things that are mentioned. A lot of things should be discussed before marriage. But like you say, some people don't have the opportunity, or some people just don't know what they want. They just know they want to be married, not really sure what it all takes into that crucial time frame of marriage. So a lot of the stuff I deal with is based on not only what to do during the first 5 years, but stuff that you can apply if you're not married. Yet also I have a whole chapter devoted to needs and wants and kind of figuring out what it is I need for myself, for my relationship, from my spouse, what my spouse needs from me, and just kind of really diving in and really seeing how can we work together with this versus me going after what I want and my husband going after what he wants, and we're constantly bumping heads. So for all different types of populations out there who are married or not married or looking for more out of their relationship, it definitely dives into some of those hard-hitting issues that people either may discuss before they get married or haven't discussed or just needed to fine-tune some things.
Well, and I wonder, and my curiosity, and I don't know how old you are, but one of the things that I'm really learning as I turn, you know, I'm closer to 40 than I was yesterday, is that generation, you know, communities and generations are very, very different. There was a time period where you learned from your elders. There was a time period where, and not to say that it's right or wrong, it just was the way it was, but you would have a community understanding of sticking it out or making it better or trying to work it out. I really see this next generation, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, and it's a huge concern, as a generation that just gets married on a whim and then gets divorced on a whim. Know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think we have the same type of familia or community influences that we used to have. which has kind of made it more difficult for individuals to know what they want. I think it's easier to just be like, oh, I'm going to be married and get married and then go, oh, I don't like this. Instead of really determining what you want for yourself as an individual, what's going to make you happy, owning that self in order to make a partnership that's going to be lifelong. And, and I think faith has a lot to do with that. And you talk a lot about faith in your book.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry, you talk a lot about faith in your book, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, your self-authenticity, much less a relationship.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, your perspective of faith and relationship.
I definitely think having faith within a relationship, spirituality, or spiritual relationship, rather, is very important for a relationship. My book focuses on the Christian aspect of the Christian principles and stuff and dealing with things. I quote a lot of scriptures and then provide a lot of additional resources or scriptures and passages in there for the couples to sit down and kind of have their own Bible study and examine related to the topics. But I know for my own relationship that it's very important because it is the common bond that brought us together and that's keeping us together. And for some who have that and aren't sure how to work it or don't have it and are curious or just don't want it, just in overall and having a faith, something or someone on a higher power that you believe in really helps to the couple to gain perspective and stuff on issues that they have.
Well, and I love the fact that, you know, one of your chapters you talk about the covet thy neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, and having that jealous piece. And that has a lot to do with materialistic thinking.
Yeah.
I find that my generation, really the pivotal point of being materialistic, being self-driven, being hedonistic, and I'm a hedonistic person, so I can't, you know, I'm not judging, I'm just saying that people tend to be more directed towards self-indulgence rather than actually community-based the way we used to when we were kids. What do you think is really going to be a pivotal change in that movement? Like, you can write as many books as you want, but how are we really going to pull back and get to being authentic community versus this, you know, New Jersey Shore type?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of involvement, not just with one person or one. I mean, it starts with one person. It could start with, you know, just reading my book, but to really shift it from how they call the me generation. It's all about me, 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 give me this, that, and the other, versus that shared cohesion amongst the community, amongst the church, and really looking at the, like you say, the partnership, the long-term goals of it versus just the immediate needs and stuff. And so really in shifting that, it takes a lot of time, a lot of education and stuff from everybody, and then a lot of support from some of the older ones in the community to help some of the younger ones. And that's what I'm 30 now, so kind of younger generation heading into older generation, kind of, you know, caught in between. But just really taking heed to some of the advice that I get from from my grandmother, or that I'm getting now from older couples and stuff, and kind of seeing how younger couples do it and kind of passing that wisdom on just to continue the conversation, really.
Very cool. We're talking live with Kelly Smith. She's the author of Surviving the First Five. And we're going to take a break here at Living and Thriving for our sponsors.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. With the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
Living and Thriving with Rusty is proudly sponsored by Lady Hawk & Associates, a full private investigation firm. Contact Lady Hawk & Associates today, 941-275-1920. Remember, Lady Hawk & Associates can help you uncover, recover, or discover. Call 941-275-1920.
And we're back. It's Sunday night here on Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. I'm Rusty, and I'm enjoying the smells of my daughter painting her nails in the background, and I'm hoping that she doesn't spill that all over the carpet. We're hanging out with Kelly Smith. She's the author of Surviving the First Five, and there's so much to talk about, but unfortunately we have about eight to nine more minutes with Kelly, and then I have to tell you where I am and all of that good stuff. So, Kelly, without further ado, shamelessly promote yourself. This is like the best time in the show to really talk about how we can find you.
Okay. You can find me in a number of ways. I have my website, Kelly, KellyHSmith.com, where you can find lots of information. My blog is on there, coaching services, or relationship coaching services, rather, as well as more information about my books. Surviving the First Five, Insightful Encouragement for the Newly Married, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any major retailer. You can look it up and you can find it, and it's very, very reasonably priced. The ebook is coming soon, but for right now it's just on paperback, filled with lots of valuable information for yourselves, for couples you know, for people who are heading into an engagement or courtship, or just make for anyone you know. It makes great Christmas gifts, wedding gifts, birthday gifts, everything. And it deals with real-life issues. I don't sugarcoat anything in there. It's all practical advice and really broken down so that anyone can understand it and really gain something from it. I'm also on Twitter, Author Kelly, on Twitter and Facebook, Insightful Encouragement. You can find my page as well.
Very cool. So, Kelly, how long have you been married?
This will be our 7th year in December.
All right, not too bad, not too bad. Do you think that you based a lot of your book in regards to your personal relationship versus what we were talking about before the commercial break in regards to elders, and or do you think that you wrote the book in a way that genuinely balanced both?
A lot of it is based on my personal experiences as it pertains to, like, the stories that I share in there. They're all truthful mm-hmm. stories about what I went through. But a lot of the wisdom that goes along with the stories, although the nuggets, they're kind of an equal balance of both, that wisdom I received about keeping others out of your business, not sharing all the details about your marriage. A lot of that came from my family and other older couples that I know and stuff, as well as some different things from newer generations and stuff. We kind of learn from each other.
Well, and one of the funny things is I knew in my personal relationship that I had absolutely completely detached mentally and emotionally. I just was physically showing up when one of my coworkers of 5 years, now mind you, had worked in the company for 5 years, said, mm-hmm. I never knew you were married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that bad of a relationship. But being who I am as a person, I stuck it out trying to do everything I could, but clearly it wasn't even something that I discussed private, or, you know, in my work environment. Like, nobody knew I was married, which was very ghastly. What do you recommend for individuals in regards to finding that balance? For me, it was completely subconscious, but...
Right, and finding the balance between marriage and work, that's what you're referencing?
In the, you know, you had just said, you know, don't talk to people about your personal life or your marriage too much. Like, what is that balance? Explain that.
Oh.
For me, I never talked about it at all, so.
Yeah, the balance isn't necessarily not ever discussing your personal life, but it's knowing where to draw the line. Issues pertaining to the bedroom, you tend to... would not want to discuss those with coworkers or with family, certain arguments you may have or little pet peeves you may have about your spouse. You have to kind of be conscious of who you're talking to, because everyone doesn't always have your best interests at heart. So for me, the balance was knowing that I could go to my friends about, hey, I'm struggling to keep up the household and everything and maintain career and come home and, you know, be able to disconnect from work when I'm at home and connect at home, versus me going and telling my best friends, oh, we're having this issue in the bedroom, or my husband is doing this, or I can't stand this. Because people tend to forget that there are some people out there who have ulterior motives. So really sitting and discussing with your spouse or your partner, first of all, what are some things we're willing to share with others, and what are some things we want to keep between ourselves? Obviously, if there's domestic violence, that's something that needs to be talked about so that the proper help can be received from both parties and stuff. But if you're having just a little simple argument about who didn't take out the trash, who left the cereal bowl in the sink and didn't wash it out, or different things like that, those are little things that can, to an outsider, can build up and become a case against your spouse to kind of help or prevent you from really forgiving your spouse and stuff.
All right. So I think that's fair. I think, you know, nagging or complaining about your partner in a minor way, you shouldn't do that anyway, because unfortunately he's going to continue to drink out of the milk carton. 16 years, I'm telling you, if he started day one, he's going to keep doing it. Might be my pet peeve, still is my pet peeve. He just is who he is. and getting that perspective that the little stupid tiny things really are exactly that, little stupid tiny things. But if it's a really big issue, you know, understanding what your outlets are. And I think best friends are the place where you would go to have those deeper conversations. But first and foremost, if you can actually have those conversations with your partner, who should be your best friend,
right?
That's great. But I think if you want to kind of do a mental check, my perception, you know, I'm an old lady, but if you want to do kind of a check-in with your own thinking and your own insecurities, because we're all insecure in some way, you know, talking to your best friend, that's what they're there for. I don't think, that's what they're there for. But if you can work it out with your partner, that's great too. It's the people that are not that close to you that are the issue.
Yeah, that's where the conflict
is, what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah.
That's the conflict. So I heard a little tiny itty-bitty person in the background. Are you recently a mom?
Yeah, I have two little ones over here, a three-year-old and a two-month-old.
All right. So it was a two-month-old we could hear in the background. Very cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what would you like us to really understand about who you are and what you do and what your intention and inspiration is?
Yeah. I'm just an ordinary person who just really has a heart and a passion for wanting to see people better their lives or improve their situations, whatever they're dealing with. And so my inspiration always comes from within, after consulting with God and praying and just really putting out the information so that others are able to receive it on a level that they can understand and help to elevate them higher and higher. That's my ultimate purpose, is just to help to elevate people higher through the Word of God and just in life in general.
Were you always religious?
I've always been in church. I have not always been religious, so.
Oh,
so there's a difference there.
Yeah. So what was that pivotal moment in which you really embraced the mind, body, and soul portion of religion?
It probably happened after my grandmother died. So, which is a really dark time in my life. It wasn't too long ago either. That I really just had to stop leaning on her for support and really try to find that relationship with God myself, and I really start to mature and not go to her for financial or physical or emotional support. I didn't have her for that anymore, so I had to start to learn how to get those things for myself, how to validate myself.
Very cool. And that's pretty tough. I mean, having to cut those cords, so to speak, whether it was intentional or unintentional, it's kind of a growing up thing that we all eventually end up doing. It's tough. It's awkward, don't you think?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, been there, done that. It definitely feels like having sea legs on land. So we have about 2 more minutes, so I wanted to allow you the opportunity to do 2 things. One, tell us where we can find you, because it's always great to do that again at the end of the show so people remember. And secondly, spend about a minute talking to all of us in regards to what you want us to take away from tonight.
Okay. I guess my website is kellyhsmith.com, so it's Kelly with an I. hsmith.com is where you can always find me and all the latest information about my books and everything. And for tonight, I just really want the listeners and everybody out there just to know that you're not alone. When you're getting married, it's not you're giving up your identity, yourself, and everything. That there are resources out there. There are people who genuinely care about seeing you grow, not only as an individual and as a person. So I really want to convey that in reading the book and visiting my website or just talking to me in general if you see me, you know, out in the street, that I am someone who generally cares about others, their well-being, and wanting to see you grow and being able to put out resources to help you to elevate your relationship and your life and your faith to a higher and higher level.
It's very much, it's a huge key to what we do as individuals. When we partner with somebody, we shouldn't feel like we are alienating ourselves or disconnecting from who we are. And that was the biggest failure in my marriage. And I can tell you, if you feel like that, do not do it. Do not get married. Just don't, because it ends up an inevitable failure. But go out. Check out Kelly Smith's website and pick up her book, The First 5. Kelly, you are amazing. I'm so grateful that you were able to join us for the what it feels like 5 minutes to talk about surviving the first 5 and who you are and what you'd like to do and the encouragement that you're giving newlyweds. So grateful to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Anytime. And kiss those baby toes. I love baby toes. My favorite. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and we just had the privilege of listening to Kelly Smith, author of Surviving the First 5, and she talks about, you know, what it's like in marriage and how to get through it and to really tie in your resources, go reach out to your elders, and really embrace your faith, make it part of who you are and who we are, because when you're married, it's rarely ever I, it's usually we. And that's not a bad thing. It could be a beautiful thing. That's what marriage is supposed to be about. Anyway, I love you. I adore you. I'm so grateful we get to walk this path together and we get to meet people from all over the world to talk about exciting, new, inspirational things and topics from marriage to death to you know, any other type of religious, spiritual beliefs, we get to hear it from all four corners of the world. And since the world's round, there's really no corner, so you know what I'm going. You know what I'm going to say. So until Wednesday here at Living and Thriving, I love you. You're beautiful. Smile. It's contagious. Pass it out.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.